Monday, November 4, 2019, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1:02 p.m.
All right, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order.
Board of Commissioner meeting to order. We'll start with Pledge Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room. Is available for review by all citizens.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Here.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet is absent.
I'd like to make a motion to excuse Janet for today's meeting.
I second that.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. We'll start with public comment. If there's anybody who has comment on anything that is not on today's agenda, now would be the time to come forward and make your comments. Is there anybody who would like to speak on anything that's not on the agenda?
Nothing on the agenda, but I'd just like to introduce myself. Some of you probably know me, some of you don't. Troy Groves, I just started with Perfect Tractor on the heavy side of things, so I thought I'd drop off my card.
Oh, okay.
And,
very good.
Larry, thank you.
Yep.
I went to school with you.
Yep. Yep. So, I know who you are.
Yeah. So,
well, you're not a lot younger than I thought you were.
I'm getting there, Larry. Take some pace. If I could just hand these out.
You bet. That'd be great.
Sit for a little bit.
You bet.
Thank you. Thank you.
What do you think? You're going to sell a motor grader or what?
Thank you. Trying to.
He's always been handing out his name and phone number.
Yep.
Thank you.
Something to stay in this world.
I hear you.
It's going to take more than that card to sell a motor.
Oh, come on. Thank you very much. I'll just listen again.
All right. Very good. We'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from October 21st, 2019. Approval of accounts payable. We did have a few accounts payable, medical insurance claims. And then approval of Veterans Service Officer Quarterly Report. I took a look at the accounts payable and the reports from the Veterans Service Office, and everything appears to be in order.
Move to approve the consent agenda items.
I'll second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right, new business. Board to approve payroll claims for the period October 20th through November 2nd of 2019. I did have an opportunity to go through the payroll claims. Everything appeared to be in order. So looking for a motion to approve the payroll claims.
Come on, guys.
It's got to be you, Larry.
I can't do it.
I'd move.
Oh, I'll second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Abstain.
All right. B, we have board to discuss and take action regarding local resident grading county roads. So we're going to discuss the issue of a gentleman that is spending some time on our county roads grading them. I guess one of the things that we need to look at is, you know, the liability of somebody out on the county roads doing that. Like everything, it comes back to liability. And if you know, even though that person's not acting as a employee of Dakota County, it could involve something with us if somebody did run into them or if it created an issue.
You mean grading or mowing?
Grading. Okay. Yeah.
And is it during like an emergency situation where the road needs to be opened, or is it just general maintenance?
Larry, what do you, is it, how often is that being hit?
Well, no one needs it now. I mean, I don't know what did it. I don't think they graded. They're going out to the lake this Friday, did it?
No, I'm just talking about, how often is it being done by the...
By the individual?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's weekly.
Really?
But sometimes it needs it weekly. It's got very much worse gravel on that causes the washboard. But then most time weekly, Ben, I mean, when there's a lot of traffic on now, but it's a hard and dry, you know, the traffic's not hurting it.
Fred, do you ever get contacted if they go out and do it, or is it just something that is done without any?
I do not get contacted. Sometimes I have seen them do it. Mm-hmm. I have talked to them. But it's not really a nuisance. It happens a lot more. Someone doing on county work on county right away a lot more than what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be clean a ditch, grade, some do it more. We see the results of it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the concerns for the board is that liability and.
Yeah, and talking with our county attorney, it was...
What do you suggest? I mean,
there's a draft of a letter that was done by the county attorney's office. So I guess what it comes down to is we need to decide if that's the letter that we would like to have sent, you know, going forward, just so they know that we'd appreciate it if they would not... Continue to.
Is there more than one resident that needs this letter?
Mm-hmm.
Is there?
That's something that we'd have. And then, Fred, we send this letter out. Then if there's situations in the future where we need to do the same type of thing, if there's people out there doing things that shouldn't be done on the county road, you could just let us know that.
What kind of action is going to be taken if there is someone out there?
That's the next question. That's always the next question. Do you think, does your gut feeling tell you that it'll continue to go on whether a letter's sent or not? Or
I'd say it will continue.
Is it because we don't do our job as a county, as the road department don't do the job? Or what's the
There's reason? Always somebody that thinks something needs to be done. And there's a lot of things that should be done in the county road department.
I agree with that.
But you always have the opinion that I do it better, and it needs to be done more. Usually, when I hear of this particular resident that we're talking about, it's usually on the weekends, a Saturday or a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
when traffic is lighter, is when I hear about it. I haven't actually seen him doing any.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there for quite a while, but I hear about it.
When people think they could do it better, just not very many people that have a road grader that could go out and give it a try.
Huh. What would I do to on like snow, for like example, snow removal, where that particular party did most of them and across the lake to the nephew, where the nephew lives and the neighbor that lives next to the nephew, through that road. Came into Hubbard and did Main Street and Hubbard and did North Bluff. It was in the coffee shop at 6 in the morning in Jackson. And then our people didn't start till 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So.
Our policy is that we usually wait till the wind goes down.
Yeah.
Because it takes us 12 to 16 hours of getting in the snow to go over all your roads. So it's something that you're not going to do once the wind blows it back in. It's going to wait another 10 hours before we start again. So start time is not a problem, whether it's 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon.
Could be. whatever this is.
It's our property.
To make sure that once they are open, that they stay open.
So we can't go do it again, that's what I'm saying.
We can, but once you have an operator that puts in 12 to 16 hours, he's not going to turn around and do another 12 hours back to back.
Yeah, I guess.
If it's blood at the start or blowback, yeah.
I guess if I was the operator, I'd want to be out there 6 o'clock in the morning, so I wouldn't have to work on it.
That's when the wind puts blowing, that's what, like I said, we'll start at 2 in the morning. Start time is not a problem, it's just that the wind lets me go down. So when we do that, the initial opening, that it stays open, that it isn't all blowed back in.
That's that particular significant snow event, though. I was driving around 9 o'clock in the morning all over the county, and there was very little, any drifting going on.
Every situation, you know, every situation is different. So I think it's probably a deal where the two members that are on the county road, Kevin, you know, he's on the road department too, and as a law enforcement officer, he's out there all the time and sees what's going on too. Maybe you three could get together when there's an event coming on, or at least text each other and maybe come up with a little bit of a plan to see what you think. I mean, ultimately, the decision's up to you, Fred, but maybe get a little bit of input on that, I guess, is just going forward, thinking that possibly that could help things.
Well, getting back to this, on this grading issue, I've talked to people that live on that road, and one person says the road is great when the county grades it, and a person living a mile down the road says it's the worst they've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And now they want, you know, this person that's not a county employee to grade it. So it's...
Yeah, it's that way.
I mean, it's half a 1/6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you had a complaint. Yeah.
So...
Mm-hmm. I think we send the letter. We'll send a letter and see where it goes from there.
Exactly.
If it continues, that would be my recommendation. I would make a motion that we send that letter and go from there. If it continues, then I'll talk to Kim and we'll see what if any repercussions there are, and we'll have to just go forward from there.
If I understand correctly, our motor grader operator refuses to grade that section of the road.
Is
a matter of fact, he graded.
Well, is that something that motor grader told you, that he refuses to do it?
I'd really rather not say. But he started the other day, he started down there at 160th, 280.
270 is the county line.
260. He graded at Fiddler Creek, went down there and back and up the hill about a total of 2.2 tenths of a mile was graded, and went turned around left.
But I've seen that hill graded before.
Which one?
The one off of AM there that you were doing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Friday's ever doing a real good job of every Friday. Our guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Making sure that portion was ready for the people who were going to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's a necessity.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's a great area, great recreation area, and it's good to take care of that road.
And that's the worst of it right there, that and across the lake there to the entrance of the park. That's just bad rough, too. But, I mean, that, you know, whatever. Pretty good road today, except for that by the cemetery.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'll second your motion, Marty.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right, we'll go to miscellaneous. Fred, you can go ahead and give us the road report.
October 20th through November 2nd. 305 hours of road maintenance, 14 hours Q Avenue culvert project, 37 hours on M. Garbage pickup is 5 hours, mowing 3.5. Gravel haul, 2,765 tons. Signs, barricades, 1 hour. Road concerns, grading, H Avenue, South Bluff, Gravel, Knox Boulevard, and 120th
second. Fred, who put the tube in down toward the...
Boy Scout Ranch?
Yeah.
Steve Harris did.
Cleaning the ditches and stuff?
Steve Harris did for Olson's. The county supplied the culvert, though.
So, now, does that be another example of somebody doing maintenance without...
No, he called. I gave him the okay. He said if he, the Olson boys would pay for it if we would supply the culvert, and I okayed it.
So, and he had the proper insurance to...
His...
We're asking this other guy?
Well, if he's working for the county, if we're...
Well, he was given permission.
He's the contractor that's done work.
I understand.
It's no different than the contractor that's on 157th right now. Doing, you know, once the county hires them to do the work.
Well, if the county hires you, you got to submit insurance certificate to the county, the contractor.
Yeah, and he probably has before.
But they're supposed to be current.
You any work done on her? You want a copy of their bond, be bonded and insured?
Well, I didn't say necessarily be bonded, but the liability insurance. Just like we're asking of this other guy.
We're not asking him. We're not asking him for insurance. We're asking him to not do it.
We haven't asked him for any proof of insurance when we've actually contracted work for him. It's the maintenance part that I'm assuming we're having a problem with. That we're not contracting him.
The letter doesn't give him an option to do the work if he shows us the insurance at this point.
I mean, it can if the board wants, but...
Well... I must have misread it, but I thought it asked for...
Kim redid the letter.
Yeah, that was an old draft.
But
Joan had
a
package.
The new one, right?
Yeah.
Oh. But anyway, I don't know. I guess if one guy's working on the right of way, the other guy, everybody should be treated equally as far as furnishing a certificate of insurance in the event of an accident. Then the county will have it in hand. Right. You know, that'd be the right way to handle it. Did we hire the contractor to do that work down there?
No.
And they did it on their own to minimize.
He said he would put the culvert in for the county, for the landowner, if we would supply. We didn't actually pay him anything, but he did get permission. He did call in and then see if it was okay. He was in charge of all locates and any other liability after that. No different than anybody else that's put a culvert or anybody else that's doing work hired by the county. Whether it's he did it through a bid process or just ask if he did the work, if he got permission, but from the county, from the road department.
Nevertheless, though, there should be a current certificate of insurance on file here in the courthouse to cover the taxpayers if there's going to be private.
By any contractor that does work.
By any contractor that does work. I mean, I don't know why not. I mean, it don't cost anything to furnish a certificate of insurance. And normally you do that annually. We do it for cities and whoever else, you know. As far as being bonded, I don't see that's necessary.
Okay.
It's a malfunction fails or something, and that's...
Maybe going forward, just have anybody that we think will do work for us in that calendar year, just get a copy to the office, a copy of their insurance.
Okay.
And we'll
I'll
go forward.
I'll see what I have on file. I do get quite a few of those filed with me, and I just file it in.
Because the insurance company automatically sends first of the year to the individuals.
Yeah, for a lot of contractors send those.
You may have, but some new person.
Mm-hmm. What I'll do is make a list of our contractors and have them send in a certificate of insurance, and if anyone is new is added to it through a contractor, he'll be asked for it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes emergencies come up, you know what I mean, even. So then you'd be, we the taxpayer, would be covered. Mm-hmm. And I would ask for $5 million coverage. I was asking.
You have a minimum that you want, $5
million? Well, it don't cost very much. The first million is the whammy, the big whammy, and then after that, peanuts, it's not very much. And most contractors today, the cities are requiring $5 million. Maybe not the county, but the cities do. If you work over the dunes, it's $10 million. Like I said, it don't cost very much money because once you got the million, you get $2 million, it's not much. Thanks, Fred.
All right, Fred, you're staying right there.
Okay.
Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent, requesting approval of purchase of a 2020 Ford F-150 state contract bid. We had talked about it in our meeting last week. We wanted to kind of figure out what we had for county vehicles, so the County Road Department gave us a list of the pickups that they had on hand, and so at this point I think we need to discuss what we want to do going forward as far as getting that pickup or getting rid of some of the older pickups or trading one in or not trading one in or what we want to do.
As far as the trade-in, you don't trade, they don't allow a trade-in on a state bid.
Yep.
We usually just take the slide down, the one on the bottom goes.
So we are going to end up with one more vehicle on the county.
What's that, Tony?
We are going to end up with one more drop in the county road. My only concern with that is that if we got 9 trucks, do we really need that many on the department? I mean, do we need to furnish the transportation for every employee to get back and forth home?
There is 2 in Hubbard, then there's 1 in Emerson, 2 in Homer, 1 in Dakota City. There is also a 1-ton that the weed department uses. The extra one in Hubbard doesn't get used much except by the courthouse here in the winter time. It's one of the older ones and rougher ones, but we put a snow plow on it, and the courthouse actually uses it to push snow around jail and courthouse.
So we use them all?
Yes. like I said, it does. That one, the older one, is G19 there. It's a 2002. That's the one that they, like I said, it doesn't get used much by the road department, but gets used by the courthouse here. I ain't saying we never use it, but.
Well, sometimes it's all free. Those over the Hubbard are all gone. Sometimes. When it snows or rains or something,
And like I say, if the other two are gone, the other two that are in Hubbard are gone, someone might be using that one for something also. I ain't saying it never gets used, but that's the majority of the use of it is snow pushing here. Yeah.
Do we have to have 2 trucks in Homer?
Well, one's the foreman's, Brent Byroads, and he gets called in. The other one's the weed department.
Yeah.
So they use go in different directions for different things. You know, your need for pickups, if you think you can get away, if you want to try just 2 or 3 pickups, it doesn't matter. There's times when windstorm comes up, a rain event, snow event, they'll go check for, see what roads need to be open, what roads need to be, there's tree limbs, garbage pickup, there's all sorts of reasons that we use pickups. But if you would only like limit people to drive them, that's on. Is there probably some unnecessary driving going on. I wouldn't say, I'd hate to try and deny that. But that is...
The one that's in Emerson, okay, when he comes to Hubbard, he brings the county pickup.
His machine is in Emerson also.
Right. So then if there's a tree down somewhere, does he got to come to Hubbard to get the chainsaws and things?
No, he has a chainsaw in Emerson. I think there's one. I don't think Dakota City has one, but they have one in each spot, yes.
So he couldn't take his motor grader out there, cut the limb off the tree, and take the motor grader and push it up into the ditch?
If sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes he might be, like I said, he might be checking roads to see if there are tree limbs down after we get a high 40, 50 mile an hour wind day or night. They'll go check their roads. Same, like I said, same with after a rain or a snow or anything. Somebody said after the wind blew 30 mile an hour, they might have drifted in, might only drifted in three spots. So they'll go check instead of driving all the roads with a grader.
They don't wait for somebody to call and say, hey, we got a tree down, we can't.
Sometimes that's what happens.
We can't get out that way, so we got to go another 2 miles out.
Sometimes that's what happens, yes. We get calls all the time from the LEC to a resident that says there's a problem, and then we go check it out. Either from a culvert washout or any problem that occurs on roads.
Yeah.
Like
one of the biggest problems we have is garbage being thrown out on the roads.
Yeah, for sure. Fred, like your mechanic, does he, so like the guys that have the graders in Dakota City here, the guy that have the grader in Emerson, do they take care of getting their own stuff, or does the mechanic know what all the machines are and he gets, like, you know, the filters?
We try and keep up on all the filters. Yes, we do know.
And he has that stuff out there, so unless it's something out of the...
Unless it's some specific item that the PC equipment needs.
They usually have it out there unless there's something. So.
But most all the filters are there. Mm-hmm. And oil.
And motor grader blades.
Correct.
Because the thing that I hear is, you know, people going, you know, there's people are always running for parts.
It might be a whole...
You can't have it. For sure.
That much equipment.
Yeah,
absolutely. Be a lot of things.
Yeah. Okay.
But I have seen him drive from Homer to Hubbard to get a couple motor grader blades and then go back. Wouldn't it be practical to take a whole panel of blades and set them
in? And they usually do. Sometimes the guy's by himself, where he only takes two.
Yeah.
Instead of rainy day, we'll try and put a couple bundles on and keep Dakota City, Emerson, Homer supplied. I'm not saying they don't run out and they run up and get a set.
Just for my own curiosity, how long can you run a set of blades?
All depends on the operator. Some are not very good at it, in my opinion, and some are very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere from 70 hours to, I've seen guys get rid of them in 16 to 20 hours.
Wow. Okay.
Are you looking at getting rid of any of these trucks, buddy?
Pardon?
Are you looking at getting rid of any of these trucks on the list?
Yes.
How many?
Just at least one.
One?
And that would be the one I'd like to see go down is a Chevrolet, the 06, the G29. Okay. Like I said, we would probably also get rid of the Super Duty, the one we just talked about, if the courthouse didn't use it, because we don't have a lot of use for it, and it's up there in age and miles also.
It is
one of the few three-quarter tons we got the snowplow will fit on in the courthouse uses. But it usually sits here all winter.
Mm-hmm. Is this G4? Is the mileage correct on that, 191,000?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you get rid of one or two of them, who are you going to give them to?
If I get rid of one or two of them?
How do we get rid of them? What's the option to get rid of them?
We put them on, usually put
surplus.
Them on a surplus auction.
Mm-hmm.
Have we had a surplus auction lately?
Every year we do.
We sure got a lot of junk around. Does that scraper down there, the motor locked up in that scraper down?
No, the rear end and transmission's out.
But the engine runs?
It did.
It did. It sat there now for what, 15 years?
Transmission was out of it, and then there was in the final drive down there, there's something.
So you couldn't have a drive, but the guy couldn't?
No.
Without spending $40,000 on it, right?
It's what?
Without spending $40,000, transmission and...
Yeah.
Rearing stuff, you can get right up there.
It could go on the surplus, but
well, good. I mean, it's probably only going to bring $5,000, but
I doubt if it even brings that. We don't have very good luck on our surplus.
It's well over $100,000.
Well, it'd be salvaged. That would be. Yeah. That's why I asked the engine
one now.
The parts company, the used parts company, was the bad side. The motor was good to run.
We get rid of two and buy.
They would probably pay more.
Yeah. The elevator.
How's that sound?
Stuff like that.
That's why I wore
get
out.
Get rid of two and buy a new one?
But then the one in Hubbard, we never used
because
that
the one here, the one that stays here, isn't really used for county.
That I've looked at twice.
The one with the blade on it, I don't know.
It's one of them that's got the
toggle. If he's going to get rid of that, then we're going to have to do something at the courthouse because that's what we use.
For some reason, he'll leave it steer. He'll take off steer.
Or on his own.
Safety factor kind of came in to keep it off the road. Because the last time it happened, the guy took a pretty good ride with it. Lucky.
Yeah, right. I understand. It happens.
Yes, I know.
So we couldn't line up all that old junk and just sell it all. Get rid of everything in the yards.
A truck that we use for
what about that flatbed driver?
Flatbed and the low boy, I'd like to see if we could trade that in for a used side dump or something that we couldn't.
Obviously, I'm more interested in how that thing's in his way. Because you ain't used it this year.
No. I don't know what they're worth, Larry.
Yeah. You need a side dump, whereas, well, you need other things to be a road builder, but I mean, a guy can start with a side dump.
Yep, I agree.
But it sure needs to be considered, at least to get rid of a bunch of that stuff.
Okay. So, if we were to get rid of two, we would get rid of this G29 and the G19.
G4.
What was the second one, Kevin?
G4. G29? I don't know.
I thought the courthouse one, G19.
Yes.
It'd be those two.
Yes.
If we do get rid of them. But G29 for sure.
Yes.
Okay.
And G19.
What would...
Four. I thought he said four. I have four marked.
Was G4?
Is G4 the one we used at the courthouse?
That's got 191,000.
The Super Duty? Oh,
that's...
No, that's... We use it. We're still using it regularly.
Okay. But the G19 is the one that sits up at the courthouse in the winter.
G19 is the one that gets used at the courthouse.
Okay.
So if you get rid of the one used at the courthouse, and then you need one to push a little snowplow on it, do we have another one that will?
No.
So then you got to spend another $4,000 for to hook a snowplow up to it?
Well... You want my department to get rid of things, but yet the courthouse to use. I don't know where to go. If you want us to keep that one, that's fine.
I would say rather than spend another. I don't want to cost a hook up a snowplow probably $3,000.
We haven't had no problem using it. It's just that if I get rid of one, I can't leave him and only end up with one in Hubbard. I won't do that. I want to keep, for my department, I want to keep our vehicles. But if you want me to get rid of two, them are the two I'd get rid of.
I don't know. I guess that's what they mean. I mean, you've got to spend more money on another truck than the truck's worth to make the game worth.
And I agree. It'll be lucky to make it through another winter. But I got no problem letting the courthouse use it. It would probably be cheaper to keep it and let the courthouse use it than to hire out G Jesse's usually the one that runs it. Anki works at the jail, correct?
Yeah, I guess, just looking at this list, you know, the newest truck's 5 years old. We got 18 years old, 19 years old, 15. They're all well over 100,000 miles. I guess just looking at that, if we're getting rid of one, you know, and next year we might be getting rid of two or three because they're just not going to run anymore. You know, they'll be over 200,000 miles. So I guess I'm going to make a motion that we approve Freddie to buy that 2020 F-150 at the state contract bid.
And get rid of what?
And get rid of 29. That 29's the 06 Chevy, right? Yes. That's one we were looking at getting rid of. Was number 29?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you tell me when the surplus auction is, Joan?
I've been holding it in the first week of June.
Okay, so that's your motion.
But I can do a...
I mean, we can put it up for sale, I guess, anytime you'd like, but I mean, if
I can
we
schedule
park
another
it, it doesn't
too.
Cost us anything anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my motion to approve Freddie to purchase the 2020 Ford at the state contract bid.
I'd second that.
What's the price on that?
The state contract is $32,777.
Mm-hmm. Is that with the Eagle Boost?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have to buy them with the Eagle Boost?
Do I have to buy what?
That truck with the EcoBoost engine.
Okay. Don't have to do, no.
Because it costs $3,000 more to order something. What does it cost for that?
The EcoBoost is $1,390.
$1,309. And it takes about 200,000 miles to pay it off, the extra cost.
Just, we found that the gas mileage was good?
Yeah, about a mile a gallon. That's what my honor.
With the
I was very disappointed, actually.
And the power was good if we towed anything with them?
Yeah, they had good power, no doubt about it. Supply leader got good power, too, but so cheap or whatever, don't matter. I guess it's more green.
Tony?
Oh, God. And wake me up. Well, I thought that we have that vehicle to have that many miles, so without making my motion, I need to go, yes, you know, because God, I'm telling you, next year, this few of them, they're going to be over 2,100 miles. So we don't have a pile of junk everywhere.
We don't want to lose sight of the fact that I got a son who had 289,000 on his.
Larry?
What?
Yes or no?
Yes or no?
No.
Marty?
Yep. All right, thanks, Fred.
Yep. Thanks, Freddie.
Sheriff.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So we're a little short on our jail report. We're missing some numbers.
Okay.
Numbers.
But October, we averaged 68 county inmates, 40 federal inmates, 2.29 juveniles, 108 total. For the calendar year of 19, so far we've averaged about 83, 31 federal, 0.36 juveniles, 114 in-house. And for fiscal 2019 to 2020, 79 on county, 36 on federal, and 0.85 juveniles, 115 total in-house. So these numbers, these incomes for last month, they weren't out when Mark printed off this report, but I know we brought in probably close to a little over 80 grand last month on just federal inmates, so that's just marshals and ICE. So that's why them numbers are missing there, but the October cost per inmate was about $58.34. We're about 12% under budget for the month of October. So 32% total estimate yearly budget for October. Dakota County, for October bookings, Sheriff's Office is 22, South Sioux 28, NSP 2, self-certified 18, Feds 58, and other 3. And Dakota County, 32, other Nebraska counties, 30, Sioux City, 30, Iowa, 22, other states, 13, homeless, 4.
Just about
that
full house in town.
Yes. I talked to Joan, and when these numbers come out here for last month, she'll send them out to you. They're probably done now, I'm sure. This wasn't at the time I came over here.
It's good to see that our population is, you know, staying steady or down a little bit, so that's...
I know that just when I was walking over here, the feds wanted 2 more beds, so we were good. So I tell you, this many beds and ICE helps quite a bit.
No, it helps everybody in this county.
Mm-hmm. But I'll make a deal with you.
What?
Never mind.
And the cost per inmate's nice, seeing that down? And
yeah, I've also been kind of kicking around raising the cost of per diem like $5 a day.
With
the feds.
Do they have a yearly contract, bi-yearly, or do you...
Basically, it's a yearly contract.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't include the cost of per diem. And I just re-signed another contract when we started housing all these guys, and I waived the transportation cost when we do just federal courthouse runs with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped them and helped us because we start getting a lot more inmates then.
Yep.
But we still charge transport if we got to take them to the doctor or do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was $18 or something is what it kind of figured out to be. I thought, heck, we can get another 20 feds in here. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think they're about average for their cost, the other jails they house at. And I also had South Dakota come in and want to start housing with us. I did sign a contract in South Dakota about a month ago, just before I went to D.C., they have, actually South Dakota has more federal inmates than Iowa and Minnesota together.
Huh. That's true. I did see a picture of you out in Washington, D.C. there.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Pretty good looking bunch of law enforcement officers out there.
Sure. Anyway, everything seems to be flying at the jail. Well, like I said, I don't know if you know this, the insurance company did say they take care of the door locks. That was like a month ago.
Oh, wow.
Finally.
They did take care of it.
But that's very good.
They said that they would take care of it.
Take care of it.
Close to $50,000 they're going to pay for.
Very, very good.
It took them quite a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, this happened in June. We've been without locking the doors since then.
Well, yeah. You might want to set that a little straighter, Sheriff.
So
there are locking doors.
It's the admin area. But there are some of them door lockers in the jail itself. But.
Okay, very good. So we'll go ahead and keep you up here. Request approval for purchase of new law enforcement vehicles.
Yeah, this is for approval for the to finance them, and I didn't get what the current interest rate is through. So be 3 of them. Of course, we got our trade-ins that we're trading in.
Do you know which 3 those would be offhand?
Offhand, no. This is something that Tim does. He works on this all year.
Yeah.
So I can tell you that about 3 weeks ago, the one Dodge we were going to keep had 91,000 miles on it. They want to trade it in. They weren't giving us nothing. They give us like $5,000 for the trade in. So we decided to keep it because it's all wheel drive. It's the only car we got that's all wheel drive. I got a call 2 weeks ago from the deputy that drives that car. It's knocking. Well, it's got 19,000 miles on it. It should still be under warranty. It was 3 weeks out of warranty. They wanted over $8,000 to put a motor. I said, the car's not even worth $8,000. It's a 2017. Mm-hmm. It's a Dodge. It's not worth nothing. You can't get nothing out of it.
Why did we get Dodge?
Well, I'm just saying, mm-hmm. that's what we're finding out with these, even the pickups.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Between the Fords and the Dodges, you don't get no money trade-in on them. They don't last 100,000 miles. The way we need them, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried a Durango out last time. We're seeing how that is. That already needs front brakes. It's probably got what? Sergio's got maybe 30,000 miles on that thing. Front brakes are already shelled and stuff.
But the rims are fine.
That, we didn't pay for them rims.
All right.
Yeah, that was a Dodge. The rim clearance to the caliper on the brakes was millimeters, which is tenths of an inch. So in the gravel, gravel gets stuck in there, and it literally had both of his front rims like a glass cutter inside them rims. It wore so deep that it was just almost split apart like a split rim. Now you're going to a call 90 miles an hour, and the rim falls apart. Our tie rod breaks.
No good.
That's what scares me about.
Yeah.
When they start exceeding their mechanical limits, no, if we were driving speed limit, okay, that happens. But when you're running hard to calls, and my deputies aren't safe in those things when they break like that. That's why I'm just really shying away from Dodges are cheap, but.
So the new ones you're going to get, what brand? What is it?
Another Dodge. One of them's another Dodge, just because they're so cheap. But if we keep up what we're doing, I paid this last loan off, so if we keep financing them at, you know, 2%, it's much cheaper to pay that financing than it is to try to put $8,000 into a motor, into a car.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
It took us quite a few years to get it here, guys.
So you're looking for approval to purchase new law enforcement vehicles? We're three vehicles?
Correct.
Three. That's okay. What it says.
Like we did last. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
I make a motion to let them buy the three vehicles you requested from the sheriff's fund.
I would second that motion.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right, thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bob Giese, Treasurer, requesting board approve option of recovery of funds regarding payment error for unpaid back taxes on parcel number 220154775.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is a, let me just give you a brief background. We do several hundred payments on real estate for mortgage companies. Mm-hmm. Every year we do our taxes, May 1st and September 1st. We had one. So we get a roster from the mortgage companies that has maybe a couple hundred parcels in it. We processed one last year, and by mistake. So we found the mistake. We contacted the mortgage company, and it should not have been paid by us. So, in the meantime, when all this transpired, the house was sold. The property was sold. So when the title company went in to do their search that they have to do on these properties when a house sells, the records showed that the taxes were paid, but in reality, that it should not have been, and should not have shown that. So, we've reached out to no avail to our folks. That in the meantime, I talked to the bank. We have papers that we believe will. I guess nothing's guaranteed, but I think we're in a pretty good position. So where we are today, I've talked to Kim on this matter. And so I guess my request then for the board is to get it off our books, is to submit a claim. It's $1,800. Submit a claim and have the county pay that tax, and then part B of that is we'll file a claim against the owner or the responsible party and hopefully get our money back. So that's...
Do they own a piece of property yet in the county?
They are in Arizona.
Okay.
So no.
Yeah.
No. So that's... I think that's our
avenue.
At least in my opinion.
I guess the bank mentioned small claims.
Okay.
I don't know how else we would.
That's within the small claims guidelines. Get a small claims judgment against them, I guess, is probably the best thing the county could do to recoup their money and see what happens.
Right, right.
And how much money is that about?
It's about $1,875, I believe. And as I said, I think we have the document from talking to the bank that is in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, so
they may not want that on their credit history, so they may take care of that.
It's unfortunate. We make mistakes. Mm-hmm. People make mistakes.
Yeah.
And we move on and try to figure it out. So that's my, I guess my request is me file the claim. Part B of that is then to then turn around and file a small claim.
Mm-hmm.
Against said owner or previous owner.
Any other discussion, guys?
I don't know.
All right, I would make the motion that we take the advice of our treasurer and approve the option for recovering funds and go ahead and pay for the back taxes on parcel 220154775.
I'll second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
And then, Bob, we have the treasurer requesting board to approve resolution 19C-037 directing the county treasurer delinquent taxes or to issue sales certificates to the county, Dakota. Easy for me to say, County of Dakota, upon all parcels of real estate upon which there are delinquent taxes and which said delinquent taxes have not sold on tax sale and taxes have been delinquent for 3 years or more.
Okay, so I think most of you, I hope, are familiar with our county tax sale process. We have that sale every March. People come in and pay back taxes on parcels that money is owed the county, and that's the bottom line, that we, the county wants the money and the taxes to be paid.
We do have. Yeah.
So the auditor's office in our audit last year suggested, so we have approximately, I'm going to say 11,000 parcels in the county that we issue a statement on. And there's always, not always, but there are usually some that somebody is deceased. It's a small parcel between two lots that nobody ever, well, I thought you owed that or owned that. So it's these little things, and some of them are a couple hundred dollars in taxes. But so what this would do is, I guess I'm asking for the board, is to authorize me to issue county certificates for these parcels that are not paid, and some of the people we can't get a hold of, and I guess that's part of the process that we do after we issue the certificates, and some of these will work themselves out, I think, maybe through the years. So county issues the certificates. We really do nothing with them for 3 years because it's that county certificate. The other certificates that you always have that three-year clock before anything is ever done at the end of that to finalize that. So what would happen in this case, these county certificates, is at the end of that 3 years, the county then, we foreclose, or so we foreclose, or we can sell these parcels, or own them,
mm-hmm.
or own them. And again, they're small, they're this, they're that, they're whatever the case may be. But this is just this gives us an avenue to clean up these certificates that, oh, that guy's been dead for 20 years, or so and so, or nobody ever does that, and nobody ever buys these at our tax sale because they're things that fall through the cracks that nobody wants. So this is a way to clean up our books, and again, nothing will happen for 3 years after we do that. So I guess I'm asking for, I would say, the board, and some of these, for instance, there's one particular parcel. We have a parcel that is in the middle of the river somewhere that I've talked to Jeff about it, and that's something that Jeff's opinion is that the Corps should get involved with that and maybe end up with that. So just kind of mm-hmm. different situations that,
just be
for
nice.
Whatever reason, are need cleaned up.
Just be need nice to get it off your book.
Need cleaned up. Mm-hmm. So I guess I would ask that the board direct me to issue these on parcels that my office deems necessary to issue county certificates on.
They've had the 3-year clock running for quite a while.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Is this being done in any other county?
It's the law.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It was
on yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Well,
they don't mind.
There are other counties that are doing it and to clean up our books.
Yeah. So this isn't technically out of the norm anywhere.
Oh no.
An accepted practice.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well.
Yeah.
So that means that someone has to request an addresser to approve the resolution 19C-037.
I'll second.
Martin.
Yep.
Tony.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
All right, Bob, you're still in the hot seat.
Okay, thank you.
Robert, you to present the 2019 Distress Warrant Report 77-1749.
Okay. Lastly, again, taxes. These are distress warrants that we gave to Captain Walsh this week. Everybody should have this, at least the cover letter, with number of stress warrants and total due. So now, and these are for, these taxes are on personal property. So most of them are mobile homes, equipment. These are all personal property. So now Randy Walsh will collect these and then we'll report back later, and he does a wonderful job and usually gets them all done and gets. So anyway, this is just this is our totals submitted to the board.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I don't think it requires any action. It's just a
list.
Just a list. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
All right, Commissioner Committee reports. Anybody have anything in the last 2 weeks? No, I didn't either. Mail or emergency business?
Well, no. Emergency wise, you know that bridge deck out there on North Bluff?
Yep.
Did you ask Brad?
About what they were going to do on that?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
I forgot to.
Too. Yeah, I did too.
I mean, we've got to do something pretty soon. Winter's here.
Yeah.
Something on.
We talked about it at the last meeting a little bit, Kevin, about doing it, when you get a chance when you're out and about, you want to just stop in and talk to Fred and see what his plan. He had talked about getting it to himself if they couldn't get Barkley to come take a look at it.
Yeah, I'll
just stop in and just touch base with him.
Stop in Thursday.
Yeah.
Got a pretty full week.
Okay.
Because that's what he said. He said, Barkley, you get a hold of Barkley, if you couldn't do it, then they do it.
Yeah.
They need to be doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and Lux jumped in there this morning at the bridge.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, and he would come across, and I was going the other way toward Hubbard. He said his insurance company wasn't happy with him driving on road closed, roads that were closed, liability wise. I just told him, I said,
I bet they wouldn't be very happy with them grading county roads either.
Well,
he just doesn't have to drive on North Bluff.
No,
he can drive down 110.
Yeah, he can, but he can also drive on, but it's just, it's just local traffic only. It's not closed. Yeah. See?
No, I.
Yeah, you go 110, but you drive that sometime. Now, I did it, twice, and I came up with over 9 miles. Savings of going east and then coming back west, and taking 210 out, 110th out, or Highway 110 out. And I don't know, 9 miles seemed like a long way, but that's what I come
from. We're all in such a hurry. Yeah. Be a nice chance to see part of the county.
Yeah, right. Now you can see a lot of things, the corn's coming out. Now you can look off across.
Yeah, you can really see across there.
See where the motor graders are. Yeah. If they're out there.
All right. With that, we're going to adjourn.